Have you ever been one of those situations where I'll set this up for you. I'm a Marine, by the way. And occasionally we find ourselves in close quarters on ships and, you know, there's nothing else to do but to converse between each other. And, you know, the funniest conversations come up, usually about politics and religion. And you always come across this one comrade, this one friend who is the most non-religious, non-faithful person you could possibly be around. And the one thing that he says that just rings in my ear every time it is said is, I don't know why anyone would become religious. I really have no clue. Because, you know, you go to church and the people are hypocrites and so is the pastor. Why would you go into that? Why? And then it hits you. You've said nothing and all you hear is the chirp of crickets while the conversation just kind of goes over you and you're sitting there, nothing, when you should have said something. Kind of like that guy at the back of the pack of a 1,500-meter race. All he hears is the pitter-patter of feet just going away. It's kind of like that. Now, you might be asking me, well, what would you have us do? What would I do in that situation? What have I done? Would I just go off on this friend? Have a head shaking, finger snapping, good old time, telling him where to go? No, that's not it. That's why we went to this verse. That's why we have the Bible. It is the ultimate guidebook for our lives. Ultimate guidebook. And so we come to the verse, Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That is such a powerful verse because it guides you into any conversation where you might have nothing to say. The Lord has provided this guidebook for us as Christians. And sometimes we use it so little. Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Some more good guidance. Because when you concentrate on that, the Lord doesn't exactly put words in your mouth. Because he has to use what you have in here. That's what he does. He can't make you say things. Well, I should say this. He can make you say things. But he won't do that. Because you have to be so in tune with God, so willing to be his voice here, that the words that he would say would just come right out. If you read on, it says, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that end part, maybe I kind of took it as a warning. Maybe it says that I shouldn't say anything. I should say nothing. Heaven forbid I say something and maybe martyr myself in that situation. You know? But that's exactly what God would have us do. Martyr ourselves. You can't sit there quietly and say nothing. But Lord, you don't understand. What if I said something? What if I lose my job by saying something? What if I take a pay cut? What if I lose my life by saying something? In the Bible it says that he who loses his life will gain it. That's exactly what God would have you do. He would not have you sit there like a bump on a log and say nothing. Now, also in the Bible it says that, this is when the Lord was talking to the Pharisees in, let me lead you there. Matthew 12:36-37. Here the Lord is, if you would turn with me, please, turn there. The Lord is talking to the Pharisees. And he says this. But I say unto you, and this is after a long conversation where he is rebuking and arguing with them. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I'm not asking you to speak idly. Not telling you to just run off the mouth and give all your thou shalt and thy wilt and judge and condemn. That's not what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying today at all. But when you have that one friend who has completely turned his back away, has decided that religion and faith is not the way to go, and he's proclaiming that on the mountaintop, don't be the fool on the hill with his head in the clouds saying nothing. If you're perfectly in tune with God, he will give you the words to say. He will point you in the right direction. Matthew 24:35, another pertinent verse. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Do you know that since the communist doors of China have opened, the Bible has become the number one bestseller? You can't sit here and say nothing. You can't. The Lord is moving. Whether you say nothing or whether you say something, the Lord is moving. A completely communist country. No religion. The Bible is the bestseller. You move over to Russia. Russian Orthodox Church. Now, its cathedrals and its churches are booming, bursting at the seams these days with the fall of communism in Russia. Now, you may think, that when I talk about the Russian Orthodox Church or evangelicals in China, that this couldn't possibly be the Lord moving. This couldn't possibly fit in the scheme of things. But it does. See, the Lord says something through everyone. Not just Seventh-day Adventists, not just Catholics, not just Jews, not just evangelicals. He uses every mean possible. Every means possible when he has something to say. It's true that we believe here that we are the ones, we have the knowledge, and we do study our Bibles as Seventh-day Adventists. Amen? Because it's always been a number one seller in my family. I was raised on the Bible. But he uses the Russian Orthodox Church. He uses evangelicals in China. He uses Jews in Israel. He even uses Muslims. He uses every avenue that he can to speak to those around that will hear his voice. Because you can't just sit by and say nothing. So, this is the deal. We have all these young Seventh-day Adventists graduating out of Souls West, learning how to say something, learning how to speak when God would have them speak. You know, I liken Souls West to, if you've ever seen any documentaries on the Mormons, their main educational institution, Brigham Young. In that school, they spend so much time teaching their children to say something, teaching their children to go out into the world, to preach the gospel to all the world in this generation. They go through body language, facial expressions, how to open a conversation, how to end a conversation, what to do when you are completely flat out rejected and the door is slammed in your face. I bring this up as an example because sometimes we as Seventh-day Adventists, and you know I am included in this, sometimes we tend to sit quietly by and say nothing and believe that, and it's right on, believe that the Lord will do this talking for us. And you know, whether or not we say anything, He is going to lead. He is going to go. He will appoint someone besides you to say something. Well, I don't want to be the person who sits by and watches this world go by when I should be saying something. I know I am guilty of it. As an introvert, there are many conversations that I have let slip by and not said anything. Just, you know, kept my mouth shut. This day and age, we cannot afford to keep our mouths shut and let our friends, our family, those who may not have the Lord, slip quietly by out of the fingers of the Lord. We have to say something. The time is coming when eventually we will not have the freedom to sit here early in the morning and listen to God's voice. The time is coming when we will be chased out of our churches, chased out of our homes, Bibles taken away. And whatever you have not committed to memory will be lost. Nothing when you should have said something. I was faced with something on the job. The Marine Corps has passed a mandate that, and it's not uncommon for this to happen, but the gist of it is whenever possible that religious holidays for those who are religious should be observed whenever possible. Now, we do have the Religious Liberties Act. It's on the books. But usually when the Commandant of the Marine Corps puts out a letter or something, a white letter or a Marine Corps administrative letter, it's usually at the commander of a unit's discretion to observe it to the letter. And lately, I've come up with duty on Friday nights, you know. And then I found out that It certainly is the prerogative of the unit to observe or not the religious liberties of a particular individual. Now, typically in the military service, it is seen as a right of the individual to observe his religious liberty as he sees fit. But you will run into difficulty. In fact, I have had to go up the chain of command to have my day. But this particular instance, I didn't say anything. But I didn't say anything because I wanted to get the full story. I wanted to understand what exactly my first sergeant was trying to pass off. What was he trying to say? So, you know, with the government, it's always administrative. So there's oodles and oodles of pages and pages of documents and administrative letters and things that I had to read in order to put it all together before I would say something. Because I'm not going to be the one to say something idly and just spout off at the mouth. I haven't said anything yet because I want to know if I'm going to be made an example of, if this is truly what he's trying to say. There's going to come a time when, and I don't know when this is going to happen, it's not going to matter. Those of us who are religious in the military, we'll have to choose. We'll have to choose between our careers and following God. Will I say something or will I sit idly by and say nothing? I retire in less than 4 years. And if it comes to pass that I have to fight for my right to be here and to observe my religion from sunset to sunset, I will say something. Believe me, I will. I consider myself a warrior, being a Marine. Hoorah. And you should consider yourselves warriors too. We come here with our Bibles in hand, our representation of the sword. And we must practice with it. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. If you don't believe it, if you sit idly by and say nothing when you should have said something, how can you help the masses to believe and to stand up? How will you have your brother or your sister, your right on your left, speak for you? They can't speak for you. You will be called to speak for yourself. You will be called, your understanding of the word will be challenged on every hand. There's going to come a point in time when the Lord will withdraw. And the question will be, how much of the Bible have you memorized? How much have you put in your heart, on your mind? A sermon like this could go on forever. Each word out of my mouth, each sentence, each phrase, each paragraph could hit a different point every time. In fact, I know probably in my career as a minister, which is where I want this to lead, I'll preach this again. And it'll be completely different. But it will say the same thing. When you sit by and say nothing when you should have said something. The chance will pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come here every Sabbath to pray, to preach, to understand. Lord, we come here in the wee hours of the morning to hear your voice, that still small voice, for your guidance, for your love, for your encouragement. Our weeks are hard, days long or short. There never seems to be enough time to get a word in with you. But I pray, Lord, that we come to the understanding that we are in need of quality time with you. In that quality time, we come to an understanding. And from that quality time, we can go out into the world and preach the gospel and say something, not to defend, not to judge, but to lift up and uphold your name, Lord. We thank you for this time that you've shared with us in your house. In your name I pray, amen.